We're holding on page 86 in Brachas, middle of Ois Samachay then, four lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about, the various tachnunim that different tanoim and amaroim would say at the end of the Shemona Esra. You daven Shemona Esra, there's a fixed nusach for it, but then it's not supposed to be a fixed nusach, it should be that you put in your own thing to it. So each of them had their own thing they added. There was actually, interestingly, I found a footnote, the Rebbe has a letter discussing the question on Rosh Hashanah night. You know, you say the bracha, bura priya eitz, and then the yihi rotzen, and only then do you eat the apple. And there's the whole question, why is that? Isn't the yihi rotzen a hefsek? So there's a letter where the Rebbe discusses the ins and outs of it. One thing he points out there in the footnote is, one idea may be that this way the yihi rotzen is also included in the bracha. That you not only, you say in the bracha, thanking Hashem for creating the fruit of the tree, the apple, you also want to include in that bracha the request for a good year. And the Rebbe says, the same idea over here with these tanoim and amiroim. If it was just a matter of they want to add something personalized to their Shemona Esrei, then they don't have to add it dafka at the end. For example, they could be adding in Shmak Aleinu or whatever. But the idea would be that they want also that the brachas of Shemona Esrei should also cover this, what are these individual requests that they're making. For that reason also, it sounds like maybe they would not say Yiru L'Ratzin before them. Now, we actually, at the end of Shemona Esrei, we say Yiru L'Ratzin twice. And in Shulchan Aruch, it discusses the idea, because you have the question, is it appropriate to be adding your own tachnunim?
Doesn't even know.
In our case, we add a tiny tzor, which we're going to get to soon, is what one of the Amiroyim used to say. Is it appropriate to be adding it at the end of Shemona Esrei without saying you the rotzen first, which is a takana of the chachamim, whereas a lakayin etzor is not. It's only a minhag. So therefore, so in Shulchan Aruch, it brings different opinions of rishonim about that, whether that's the right thing to do, and therefore that's why to be on the safe side, we say you the rotzen twice. So we say it the first time. That way, it points to be choshesh for the first opinion. Then we say a lakayin etzor, and then afterwards we say you the rotzen, so that it should include that bakasha as well. So we went through the first couple of them. We had Rabbi Lazar's tefillah and we had Rabbi Yechanan's tefillah. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Zeira bossed of a sign sloise omahafi. When Rabbi Zeira finished his Shemona Esrei, he would say the following tefillah: Yirotzim l'fanecha Hashem alekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem, shalenechta, that we should not sin, v'lo nevosh, and we should not be embarrassed, v'lo nikolim, and we should not be humiliated, may avoseinu. And now the mem can mean from, or it can mean then. So it can mean we should not be embarrassed from our fathers, in other words, that it shouldn't be. So Eitz Yosef discusses over here that the idea that he brings, that the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh explains, why is it at the end of the Tochecha, in Parashas B'chol Kosei, it mentions the Ovis, Zachakias, Brisi Yaakov, Abbas, Brisi Yitzchak, etc. Why does it mention the Ovis in that connection? And the idea is, because it's meant to highlight all the more so what were we thinking that we fell so low and wound up having to go through all those tochechos when we're the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and should have realized to hold ourselves to a higher standard. So in the same sense, over here we're saying, realizing that our ancestors did tremendous things, we shouldn't have to be embarrassed in their presence from the averus that we do. So that's one meaning of Me'av Yisrael. A different meaning of Me'av Yisrael, the Oruch, I think, says it means that we shouldn't be more embarrassed than our ancestors. Our ancestors suffered, not Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, but our later ancestors suffered humiliation because of various averus that they did. So we hope that we don't have to be more embarrassed than they were. So that was his tefillah.
The Mishnah and Sukkah, which is the opposite, where we say
Ashrei Yaldusein Right, that's it. Yeah.
So
you have both. You have Ashrei Yaldusein Shalad Bisha Sikhnaseinu, how happy is our youth that it didn't embarrass our old age. And then you have the other way around. You have the line over there about the Balei Tshuva, who say Ashrei Sikhnaseinu Shakipra Al Yaldusein, that our old age was happy.
I meant what they said.
That's something else, right, that they said that our fathers used to worship Avodah Zarah and we don't. Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah, okay, because there it's important to, but over here we're asking that we shouldn't have to be more embarrassed than them. Okay. Why Dafkud of Zeta asks that? So Ian Yaakov explains that we know from a story in Sanhedrin that Rav Zeira used to take, you used to be makariv people who otherwise the rest of the Chachamim rejected and decided that they want to have nothing to do with their biryonim, and Rav Zeira would work to be makariv them. So therefore he had to daven to Hashem that he shouldn't end up learning from them. And on the contrary, that he should be able to affect them for good. Next, Rav Chiya Bosa de Matzvi Omahachi. When Rav Chiya finished davening, he would say as follows: Yirotim Lefanach Hashem Alekenu Shetei Teras Chol Menaseinu. Then may it be your will, Hashem, that the Torah should be our craft, our occupation. Val Yidveli Benu. Val Yidveli Benu. Our hearts should not be distressed. Val Yechshechuenenu, and our eyes should not be dark. So the expression comes, Marsha points out. You have the expression at the end of Eicha. Al zehoyo doubly benu, al evachosh kweinenu. So he's davening that we shouldn't have to undergo that. Why is he davening mentioning that? So Ion Yaakov points out that Rav Chiya was in fact Torosu Nase. He taught a tremendous amount of Torah.
You have a famous story.
You have a famous story about how he would go around, it was in Daf Yomi not so long ago also, how he would go around from one village to another and gather children together and teach them Torah. So he has a particular reason to daven that Torah should be Omun Asen. When he says, Al Yid Vali Benu, Al Yashikoy Nenu, H. Yosef explains, Ephraim, I don't know what's going on over here, but please keep yourself on mute. Thank you. So he explains that libenu and neinenu refer to the heart and the eyes of the Jewish people, namely the Talmid Chachamim, that they shouldn't have to be sad or dark, that they should have the strength and the ability to lead the Jewish people and to guide the Jewish people in the right way. Next, the Rav Boset Sloisei Omahoch. Rav, when he finished his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say the following tefillah: Yirotzim Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shetitem Lanu Chaim Aruchim, may you give us long life, Chaim Shal Shalom, a life of peace, Chaim Shal Bracha, Chaim Shal Tova, a life of goodness, Chaim Shal Bracha, a life of blessing, Chaim Shal Parnosa, of sustenance, Chaim Shal Chubot Tzatzomois, of strengthening the bones, a Marsha Bunz from a Gemara in Yevamos that says, literally, that's what it means. In other words, that person davened that his bones should be strong. The Gemara actually calls it over there, Ma'ula Sheba Brachas, the best of all the Brachas is that a person should be davening for that. It can also mean, I mean, besides a person's gashmiistic bones, I imagine it probably also has a meaning, beruchnius, you know, the bones, in other words, that a person has the stolzkeit to stand against to stand firm on behalf of Torah and to stand up against what needs to be stood up on behalf of. So, yeah. He continues, chaim shiyesh ben yiraschait, a life in which there's fear of sin, meaning, in other words, not yirasa oinesh, not you can have the lowest level is where a person is afraid to do averus, is afraid of the consequences. No, we want yiraschet. We want that a person should actually be afraid to do the Avera because he finds it disgusting or because he's embarrassed in front of Hashem, which is a high level of Yira called Yira Boishas, etc. Chaim Shein Ben Busho Chlima, a life in which there's no embarrassment or humiliation. Chaim Shal Oshav Achavad, a life of riches and honor. Chaim Shetei Banu Abbas Terev Yiras Shemayim, a life in which we will have love of Torah and fear of Hashem. Chaim Shetamalalana Eskom Shalos Bebeinu L'Toyva, a life in which Hashem will fulfill all of the requests of our heart for good. And the point of the for good is that sometimes, so first of all, the in bam bushu chlima, so Eitz Yosef refers to what we were just talking about from Sukkah. You have the tzaddikim say about themselves by Simchas Beis Sheva that happy is our youth that didn't embarrass our old age. And the Baalei Tshuva say happy is our old age that was mechaper for what we did wrong in our youth. So therefore, so we're saying that we're davening that we shouldn't have bushu chlima, that we shouldn't have to be in the second category. We should be able to be in the first category. And the Mashalas, the Bein HaLotoyva, sometimes you can have, of course, a person makes a request of Hashem, and he doesn't realize that what he's requesting is really no good for him, so we're asking that Hashem should fulfill it in the way that's good for him. So that was Rav's Tefillah. In Nusach Ashkenaz, actually, they say that before Birkas HaChodesh, before saying Mishal Sinisim, in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim, they say this paragraph with a couple of slight variations. One thing I once saw, they say a vort. So why is he asking? He's first asking for Yiras Chet, and later on he's asking again for Yiras Shamayim. Why is that? Because since you have Osha V'Chobed in between, there's the real possibility that after there's the Osha V'Chobed, you may lose some of that Yira, and therefore you have to daven for it again.
Could it be that the Yirat Tatar and Yirat Ilah?
Maybe it's Yirat Tatar and Yirat Ilah. Well, Yosef says already that Yir, that even Chaim, that Yiras Chet already is a higher level of Yira. But yeah, you know, many different levels. So maybe, yeah. Ibn Yaakov points out there are different things it mentions throughout Shas and Midrashim that Rav acted with Midas Chassidus altogether. There were 10 of them corresponding to that. He has 10 things that he's requesting over here in his Tefillah. In the Nusach, they say actually in Nusach Ashkenaz, when they say it for before Birkas HaChodesh, they at the end, after Kol Mishalos Leben Alatova, they add the line, B'schus Tefillas Rabim. So on the face of it, it means exactly what it sounds like. In the schus of the Rabim asking this Tefillah, unlike over here where we're saying that Rab would say it as a Yochid. I have once seen where someone suggested though, and I don't know if this was meant seriously or as a bit of a joke, that maybe the word B'schus is actually a misprint for Brochos and Rabim for Rab, and therefore it was just a reference. Brochos, Tefillas Rab. In Brochos over here, this is Rab's Tefillah, and somebody wrote a reference, and then it got changed into that. So, yeah. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rebbe Bosat Sloise Omahofi, Rebbe, after he finished Shemana Esri, would say the following tefillah, Yehirotim Alfanah Hashem Alekai, or Alekainu, Alekai Abisai, Abisainu. In general, we try to phrase our tefillahs in the plural, so therefore that's why you have Alekainu and Abisainu instead. Shatatzileini Ma'azeh Fonim Ma'azus Fonim, may you save me from Azeh Fonim, from Chutzpah Dika people, or may Azus Fonim, and from Chutzpah. Now, why the double expression? So we say this every morning in davening. We should be familiar with what it says. So Marsha says the vote is Azeponim means exactly what it sounds like. Chutz v'dikah people, that Hashem should save me from having to deal with such people. Azusponim means then that you shouldn't have people claiming that I am a mamzer where mamzerim are Azeponim. And in fact, Marsha refers to a Gemara in Shabbos where some guy claims to Reb comes to Rebbe, some sugarer comes to Rebbe and claims that he's actually Rebbe's father, which would mean that Rebbe Chas v'Shalom. And the upshot is that the Rebbe managed to get the Eberstein to dispose of the guy. But anyway, he gave him a drink, and the guy exploded, whatever it says over there in the Gemara. The point is, something like that. Anyway, the point is that the point is that Rebbe had to daven that he should be spared from such things. There are different other explanations. Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Avudraham, where Avudraham, you know, is a sefer of Pirushi Amilos and Tefillah. So he explains that Azeponim means that we ask Hashem to save us from people from Azeponim who would attack us, and Azusponim that we shouldn't be Azeponim against other people. So there's that also. There's also, I think, the Maharal says something about it, that Azeponim could mean, for example, that a person joins up together with other Azeponim. Sometimes you may have, a guy doesn't have the break tight himself to speak or to do badly against somebody else, but he has a whole group with him, so he feels more emboldened to do it. That's Azeponim. And Azusponim is he shouldn't have the ability and the Yetzirah to do that on his own. Anyway, Me'odim Ra, he continues to ask Hashem to save me from a bad person, or Me'pega Ra, and from any bad incidents, Me'chover Ra, from a bad friend, because we know from Pirkei Avos, a bad friend can really lead a person in the wrong way, Me'yetzer Ra, from the bad Yetzer. Now, of course, you know, I call B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Me'yetzer Shemayim, but there's always Habodi time, so we're entitled to ask Hashem to help us, to give us a little boost against the Yetzer. Mishochen Ra, from a bad neighbor, or Misotan Amashkis, from the destroying Sotan. And the Sotan over here doesn't necessarily mean the Sotan as in the Malach. Eitz Yosef brings over here, it can mean an actual, a human adversary. We actually find, he brings, for example, you have a pasuk in connection with Shlomo, by Yochim Hashem Loi L'Sotan, that Hashem set up an adversary, an enemy against him, a certain goy from Edom. So we see that the word Satan can mean a human, and it can mean a human opponent as well. So we're asking Hashem to save us from that kind of thing. Or midin kosher, from a harsh judgment, which means, in other words, that, so Eitz Yosef says, for example, it means that if I have a din Torah against somebody else, it shouldn't be a hard kind of thing where I'm going to be matriach based in to decide this complicated case. Or midbal din kosher, or from a harsh Baal Din, from a harsh opponent in a Din Torah, where it might be it's an easy enough case, but the other guy doesn't want to listen to the Beis Din, and therefore that causes causes a lack of respect to Beis Din, that people aren't following that people aren't following their Psak Din. So we ask Hashem to save us from that. Benchu Ben Bris, whether that opponent is a Ben Bris, is a member of the Bris that we have with Hashem, meaning a fellow Yid, or Benchu in a Ben Bris, or whether he's not a Ben Bris. So that was Rebbe's tefillah, and we say that every morning in morning brachas. We have the bracha Amar B'Shein Me'erne, which continues V'Hirot Zemofanecha, and then after that we put in this tefillah because some of the phrases in it are similar to the phrases in the previous bracha. So therefore, that's an appropriate place to put it. But Rebbe would say it at the end of his Shemoneh Esrei, and the Gemara points out that Afagav the kind of tzutzei alei the Rebbe, even though Rebbe had guards or police guarding him, Rashi says that Antoninus, the famous emperor Antoninus, who was the friend of Rebbe, appointed guards to be on Rebbe's side, so that if anybody tries to attack him or anybody tries to whatever, then these guys can beat the person up. Nevertheless, even though Rebbe had that, he felt the need to daven every day to Hashem to save him from the Azeponim and Azosponim and so forth.
Because of guards, Goyish guards is actually not daven.
No, it's okay. In other words, you might think that maybe he doesn't have to daven this every day, maybe only on special occasions, but...
Their voice alone works out a lot better than these Goyish guards, I think.
Fine. The Gemara continues. And by the way, Ion Yaakov points out, again, in keeping with what he's been doing, that each of the Tanoim and Amiroim will find some connection between their own life circumstances and the tefillah that they said. In particular, Rebbe, we know, is very, very rich, and a rich person often tends to be an Azponim. Therefore, the first thing he's davening for is that Hashem should save him from Azosponim, that he shouldn't be like your typical rich person and be like that. Because many people, it's not just that they fall, it's more the point that your typical, very often a rich person, you actually have a pasuk, Osher Yana Azos, that a rich person feels more of a break type, feels more of an ability to talk chutzpahdik to other people, figuring that he can get away with it because he's rich and powerful. So Rebbe is asking that he shouldn't be led into that kind of mentality.
There's a tendency to take out such of the very results
because yeah, that's
true. He has money to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Go into their head and get egotistical. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Rav Safra Basad and Sain Slosi Omahafi. When Rav Safra would finish his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say this tefillah: Yirotzen Lefanach Hashem Alekenu, may it be your will, Hashem Alekenu, Shatosim Shalom B'Pamalya Shamayla U'Pamalya Shamata, that you should put Shalom among the Pamalya Shamayla, which is the Pamalya, literally means the entourage. So Rashi says it means, particularly, it means the malachim in charge of the nations up in Shemayim. Each nation has its own malach, and when those malachim fight with each other, then you have fights down here on earth as well. So therefore, when there's shalom and pamalya shamayla, then that means that there'll be peace in the world over pamalya shamata, and also among the entourage down here on earth, which means the chachamim down here on earth, that they should have shalom among themselves as well. Uvena Talmidim Ma'uskim B'Serasecha, and that there should also be Shalom among the Talmidim who are occupied with learning their Torah. Bein Uskim L'Shma, Bein Uskim Shalom L'Shma, whether they're occupied with Torah L'Shma or not L'Shma, and B'Chol Uskim Shalom L'Shma, and any of the ones who are learning Torah Shalom L'Shma, Yiratzim L'Fanecha Shiyu Uskim L'Shma, may it be your will Hashem that they end up doing the right thing and be Uskim L'Shma. As the Alter Rebbe puts it at the end of Peres Lamed Tes Tanya, so lo yudach mimenu nidach. Even if you have a person has learned Torah Shalom L'Shma, eventually the Gil Gozer, the Gil Acher, somehow that Torah they learn is going to end up being elevated, and so therefore he's asking that it shouldn't have to wait for the next Gilgal, which should be right here during this lifetime. Marsha explains like this. We know that there's a few different levels in when a person learns, when you talk about a person learning Torah, Shalom L'Shma, there's a few different kinds of Shalom L'Shma. One is where a person is learning Torah because he wants to be famous, he wants people to honor him and call him Rebbe, because it's interesting or whatever. That's Shalom L'Shma, but it's not so bad, Shalom L'Shma. That's the kind where the Gemara often says that La'olam Yasek Adam HaTorah Shalom L'Shma, and Mitoch Shalom L'Shma Bo L'Shma. Eventually he'll come to L'Shma. Then there's the kind of Shalom L'Shma.
Terrible.
which is called lakanter, where he's learning Shalai the Shema in order to use it to attack other people. Whether it's that he's going to use it to put other people down, I'm a Talmid Chacham and you are nothing, or whether it's that he's going to use his knowledge of Torah to be able to use loopholes in halacha, to use loopholes in halacha against them in Dinim Mamonis or whatever it is. That kind of thing is lakanter. So that's not the time. That time, the Gemara says in some places that a person learns Shalai the Shema, then he's really bad off. So therefore, Marsha says to here, Rab Safra in his tefillah, first he's referring to the Oiskim Lashma and the Shalai Lashma. So he's saying, in other words, that whether the Oisik Lashma or Shalai Lashma, even if it's the first kind of Shalai Lashma, at least they should have Shalom among them. Fine, he may be learning with the wrong motivation in order to be called the Talmid Chacham, but at least he should have Shalom with the other Talmid Chachamim who are learning Lashma. Then he refers to the second kind of Shalai Lashma, where they're learning Lakanter. Now, you can't ask that there should be Shalom between them and the other Talmid Chachamim, because the whole point of their learning is in order to create Machloikas. So therefore, all you can do is ask that they should be Oisik Lashma, and that way, automatically, then they'll come to a point of Shalom. But you can't really ask for there to be Shalom yet with them, because they're not even at the level of learning Torah with any kind of Shalom.
Where does it say that the test of riches is harder than the test of poorness?
I don't remember offhand, but yeah, there was. You have Shlomo HaMelech himself says Reish VaOshra Al Titen Li. He says don't give me poverty and don't give me riches, because either one can cause a person to go the wrong way.
It's a different place. It says something else.
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's Reb Safra's Sfila, and Iyun Yaakov explains, Reb Safra we know is particularly noted for his Midas Emes. At the end of Makkos, there's a Gemara over there that goes through Kapitel Tes Vav of Tillim, Hashem Miyogu Ba'alecha, Miyishken Baha'u Kotrecha, talks about 11 Midas Tovas, which encapsulate the whole Torah. Gemara says over there that there are 613 mitzvahs. Dover HaMelech summarized them under 11 headings, the 11 things in that capital. And one of them is Dover Emes Bilvavoy, and it tells over there about Reb Safra, where he was completely devoted to Midas Emes. You have the story over there where one time he was selling cloth. He's in the middle of saying Krishna. A customer walks into the store and asks for a certain amount of cloth at a certain price, and Reb Safra doesn't answer him because he's in the middle of Krishna. And the guy thinks he's not answering because he's insulted. I've offered too low a price. So he starts offering higher and higher prices. And then when Reb Safra finally finishes Shema, he tells him, I'll sell it to you at the original price. Because already when you first said that price, I already decided in mentally that I'm willing to sell it at that price. And I'm not going to go back on that. Yeah. So Reb Safra was completely devoted to Midas Emes. And on the other hand, Iyun Yaakov goes on to say, Shalom and Emes, in a way, are opposites. Because Shalom means that you're going to try to make peace between people. That means, in other words, somebody's going to have to give up something of what they deserve. That's not really Emes Lamito. So therefore, sort of Safra has particular reason to ask that even though I have the Midas Emes, there should also be that it shouldn't contradict Shalom. It should still work well with Shalom of Pamali Shamailo Pamali Shamata.
But they're also in the both and have to compromise, that's all.
Well, yeah, that is what Shalom is all about. Yeah. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Alexandri Bosset Floise Omahochi, Rabbi Alexandri, holding Ois Samach Zayin on page Mendalin. Rabbi Alexandri, when he finished davening, Omar Hochi, he would say the following request, Yirotzim Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shetamidenu B'keren Oira, may you put us in a corner of light, Ba'al Tamidenu B'keren Chashecha, don't put us in a corner of darkness, Ba'al Yidbelibenu V'al Yachshufoinenu, may our hearts not be distressed and our eyes not be darkened. That's the same line that we said before Rav Chiya said. Then some say that it wasn't Rabbi Alexandri who said that tefillah, but rather Rabbi Hamnuna. And according to that, then the Gemara is going to bring on the next Amud, we'll say a different tefillah that according to that version that Rabbi Alexandri would say. What does Keren Ora mean? So Marsha explains like this. A corner is a narrow area in a room. And so you don't have much room to move around as you would in the rest of the room. Therefore, the Keren refers to, and also it's darker over there because the light doesn't penetrate the corners as much as it does in the middle of the room. Therefore, the Keren refers to the time of Golus. So even though we're in a Keren, we're in a very constricted, narrow place, nevertheless, put us in a Keren Ora and save us in, even during Golus, save us from all the tzaris so that we should have Ora, like Hudim is the Ora of the Simcha and so forth. So that's what he's asking, that we should be in Keren Ora. So then there's a few other explanations. Eitz Yosef explains that Keren Ora can also refer to Eretz Yisrael. can also refer to Eretz Yisrael and to places which have a certain semblance of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem should make it possible for us to be in such places. Eretz Yisrael itself, in fact, there's a pasuk that refers to it as Keren. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that where the long extended of Yeshaya gives a mashal extending over a few psukim of how Hashem expected such great things from the Jewish people and they're not living up to it, and he calls it Keren Ben Shomen, a very fertile, fat corner. So we see that Eretz Yisrael is called a Keren. That's another point. And Nas Yosef makes another point as well, which is the word Keren can also mean strength. We have many times in davening, and many times in psukim and tilim, and in other places where the word Keren means strength and power. By Yoram Keren la'amoy of Chokanu Rishoy Magadeya, etc. So therefore, so Rabbi Alexandri was a dayan. You find in a few places in Shas that his job was he was a dayan. So therefore, he's asking that this Keren, this greatness that he has as a dayan, should be for Ora and not for the opposite. That he should exercise his powers as a dayan. That Hashem should help him to exercise his powers as a dayan appropriately. And then he continues that also that the part about Al Yud Velibenu Al Yesh Foinenu is that. What are we saying? The pasuk is saying that we're sad and our eyes are dim because of the churban habayis. Well, the Gemara says that when a person does a dayan does mishpat with tzedakah correctly, then it's better than a korban. So he's asking that we shouldn't have to be distressed over the churban, because instead I should be able to act as a dayan and therefore accomplish something even greater in the world than korbanos. And Anath Yosef brings all of this from the Tzlach. Isn't it repetitive, you're asking? So the word can be, even if for whatever reason we may not be in a Keren Ora, at least we shouldn't have to be at the opposite extreme in Keren Chashecha. So, besides which, in general, in davening, you want to specify. You don't want to leave anything in davening open to two more than one possible meaning. He make that point, yeah. So one version was that Alexandri said the previous tefillah, and then the other version was that Rav Hamnuna said that one, in which case, so what did Rav Alexandri say? So Rav Alexandri, Basa Tzloise, Amahachim. So according to the second version, he said a different thing at the end of his Shmoneh Esrei. Ribon Kol Olam, master of all the worlds, Goli V'yadua L'fanecha Sh'Ritzeinenu L'Asas Ritzeinecha, it's well known and it's well revealed and known before you, Hashem, that our will is to do your will. We know that a Yid's intrinsic Ratzin is to do the Ratzin of the Eibishter, as in the famous thing from Hilchos Geirushin that the Rebbe used to quote any number of times. We have over there that a Yid doesn't want to give a get, where he's required to up Yalacha, then basically can beat him, Achiyam Arotani, how can you give a get against his will? Because his true will is to do what the Eibishter wants. So who is holding us back? The sourdough in the dough and the subjugation of Golis. So those two things, in other words, the internal Yetzahara, which is like sourdough that causes the dough to puff up, and the Shibud Golis, those two things are preventing us from fully doing what you, Hashem, want and what we really want to do.
What's the
sourdough? So exactly what it sounds like. You have a batch of dough. You have a batch of dough. How do you make it chometz? How do you make it puff up and make it into bread? You put in a piece of sourdough. So therefore, it represents the arrogance of the Yetzahara. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we do have that line in the Minor Lashon. That's true, yeah. In the Minor Lashon, one of the Trilas, but you say it's the oil, that's true, mentions. Yeah, we mentioned that point, yeah. So Marsha explains like this. A person is always supposed to go, that Amnon explains, in Shmoneh Prakim and in Hilchos Deis, that a person should always, in almost all midas that a person has, he should go b'derech hamitzua, he should go in the average way, not too far over to one extreme, not too far over to the other. Now, so what happens then? So you have, on the one hand, there's the sa'ur shebe isri yetzahara, that puffs a person up with gaiva, and then on the other hand, you have shibud golius, that causes that person is subjugated to the goyim, and they humiliate him, and put him down, or whatever. So therefore, we're asking Hashem to take away those two things, and then we'll be able to stay on the straight middle path without all those things. Iyun Yaakov points out another thing as well, which is that you have mitzvahs esseh and mitzvahs lois esseh. For the most part, what does the Yetzer Hara get a person to do? Mitzvahs lois esseh. He convinces him that something which is aser is really good and he should do it. On the other hand, then what do you have when you have zeris from the goyim, shivud malchus? For the most part, there was a tach mitzvahs esseh. Classic example, he mentions this, for example, that what we're on to Yochus' Zera says they shouldn't do Bris Mila and Shabbos and put on Tefillin and so forth, which are all mitzvahs asay. So therefore, so we're saying that those two things, the Sa'ur Shabbat Issa and the Shibud Golias, are respectively preventing us from mitzvahs Lois Eseh and mitzvahs Eseh. So Hashem, please remove those factors so that way we can keep the mitzvahs the way we're supposed to. Then Eitz Yosef brings another point as well. You often have that a person does a mitzvah, but he does it out of habit, or he does it sadly, or whatever. So when we're saying "v'tzeinenu l'asus v'tzeinecha," doesn't just mean that we want to do your mitzvahs. We want to do them with the right motivation. But why is it that we're not doing them as with "v'tzeinecha"? Rashi, in fact, uses the expression "umima akiv she'enonu oisin v'tzeinecha." What's preventing us from doing your will? So Eitz Yosef explains. That, in other words, even when we are doing the mitzvahs, they're not really according to Hashem's will because we're not doing them with the right motivation, with the right av of a year. So we're saying the two things, the Sa'ur Shabbat Issa and the Shibud Malchus, are preventing that. It's preventing us from being happy with doing mitzvahs. So therefore, so he continues, Yirotz Milfanecha, Hashem Alekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem, Shetachnia Milfanenu, that you should subjugate those two things in front of us, Umeacharenu, and from behind us. So neither in front of us nor behind us should there be any of those kinds of things. Before us, meaning before a person is planning to do, is going to do a mitzvah. Afterwards means you might have afterwards where, like, he may regret the mitzvah that he did, for example, or whatever, or that he might feel gaivadik about that he did the mitzvah or whatever, and we should return to doing the mitzvahs of your will with a full heart. So that's what it means. Also, Marashah says, given that he's explaining according to the Rambam, that the point is we want to go on the straight path, we're saying we have a problem, Milfanenu and Me'acharenu, that both from before us and from in front of us and behind us, there are things that are trying to get us off that middle path. So Hashem, please remove those factors, and then we'll be able to go on the straight middle path like we're supposed to. There is also the idea, you know, that it talks about Siddus, that the fact that we're comparing the Yetzer Hara to Sa'ur Shabbat Issa, so we're mentioning it as a negative thing. On the other hand, the fact is, once you put in Sa'ur in the dough, and you let it rise, and you bake it, you have a nice tasty loaf of bread, where without that, you have something fairly tasteless. So the idea is that ultimately, you do use the Sa'ur Shabbat Issa in order to enhance your connection to the Eibishter, you know, the Yetzer Tov, the Shnei Levavecha, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Hara, you overcome the Yetzer Hara, you make commit, as the Alphabet says in Tanya, you make mat'amim, you make a delicious dish for Hashem out of the skafia sitra. So that's all included in this idea of calling it Sa'ur Shabbat Issa.
Is that between Yaakov and Yitzhak, the whole thing about Yaakov preparing
So that's the after that, we bring from Perek Chavzayin of Tanya, yeah, that you have the line that Yitzhak says to Yaakov, Vasili mat'amim, where on the deeper level, that's Hashem speaking to the Jewish people and saying, I want two kinds of delicious dishes, the avodah of the tzaddik and the avodah of the baal teruah. Continues the Gemara. Ma b'rei d'Rabbuna b'osat tzloisei omahochi. Ma b'rei d'Rabbuna would say the following bakosha after his davening, and this is the one that we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Elikayim tzur the shoni meira, preserve my tongue from saying evil. V'sifsoisei midaber mirma, and my lips from speaking falsehood. The double expression, among other things, means that. Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Vilna Gaon that Ra would be where a person is saying something that he knows is bad. Mirma would be Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev. He's thinking to do bad, but he's speaking falsely and trying to pretend that he's speaking nicely to the other person. So we're asking Hashem. So that's the both things. The kind of Tzara L'Shoni Meira, that I shouldn't say something which is outright bad to other people. Or Sfasa Midam and Mirma, and I shouldn't speak falsehoods where I'm pretending to speak nicely to them and really I'm doing it for bad purposes.
He continues,
to those who curse me, let my soul be silent, which also actually some of the Mephoshim explain. It also has another meaning that the Tosfos actually, I think, explains that it means that the Mekalai themselves, Sidon and Hashem should help, that they be quiet. So then we would punctuate the sentence, V'lem kalalai nafshi, sidon, that Hashem should help, that they end up being quiet. V'nafshi ka'ofa lakilti, yeah? And my soul should be like dust to everyone. Where? On the one level, it means dust, as in other words, that we have bittul, that we have a sense of bittul, that is what we're asking for. But also, Tosfos points out, the fact is that dust never disappears. So that, which is why we Jewish people, for example, are compared to the dust in this week's parasha and all over the place, kafar ha'aretz, because the idea is the dust never disappears, and neither do we Jewish people. So therefore, v'nafshi ka'ofa l'kaltia is also meant to ask that we're working to accomplish in the world should never disappear. We continue. Psach libi b'sera secha. Open up my heart to your Torah. Over mitzvah secha tirdeif nafshi. And let my neshama, let my nefesh, which also means my desire, run after your mitzvahs. One idea being mitzvahs, yeah, are active things. You have to run for them. Torah, you just have to open up your heart, and it's already there available for your mitzvahs. You have to run for. By the way, there is an explanation there's a Pirush on Ein Yaakov called Ein of the Yahu. He says that you're going over here in stages. You can't ask for everything all at once, so you're asking for things to go in stages. First, the Tzor the Shoni Meira, then Usfasven, that means Usfasven Dam and Mirma, which is a higher level, then Velam Kalan Nafshi Sidim, that when people insult me, I shouldn't answer them back. So the first one's the Tzor the Shoni Meira, is that I shouldn't insult other people. Usfasven Dam and Mirma, that I shouldn't speak, because we said Echa the Peb, Echa the Leif people. Velam Kalan Nafshi Sidim, if people insult me, I shouldn't answer them back. And then the Nafshi Ta'afala Kaldia, then I should reach an even higher level where what they're saying doesn't even bother me. There's also places in Chassidus where it talks about another angle on it also. In particular, we say v'nafshi ka'afal akoltia, and then psach libi v'sera secha, because that's the order of things. First, you have to have a sense of bittul in order for your heart to be open to Torah. So therefore, it's important to have it in that order. And he continues, the next line we don't have in davening, actually. V'satzileni v'pegarah, may Hashem, may you save me from any bad occurrences, miyetzahara, from the yetzahara, or miishara, or from a bad wife, this we haven't had before, or mikol rois and misvagches lovel olam, or from any other bad things that are taking place, that are stirring up and coming into the world. And then we continue, as we do in davening, anybody who thinks badly against me, mehera hofer atzas and mekalka machshavosim, quickly ruin their plans, quickly destroy their plans and ruin their thoughts. One meaning of it, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains that atzosam means things that they already expressed verbally, and machshavtam or machshavosam is things that they're only thinking about. So both of those should be, both of those Hashem should deal with. And he finishes off, so we say all the time sir in davening. We don't say any of these other ones. But each one of them, you have a machlokes haposkim, whether you should be saying it right after Amavorach Sam Yisrael Bashalom, or is that inappropriate because there is a takonas chachamim in the Gemara to say Yul Rotzen right after Shemana Esrei for reasons that we said before, because it's at the end of the 8th, originally the 18th, now the 19th, Kapitel of Tilim, and therefore it belongs immediately after the 18th, later 19th, Brachas of Shemana Esrei, so therefore maybe other kind of so should be only after that, or maybe not, maybe you're entitled to say it right after, and therefore we say Yul Rotzen twice in order to cover all the bases.
It's our own prayer, right?
We could say our own tefillah at the end. That is true. You actually have within any of the brachas of Shemana Esrei. Actually, you are allowed to add anything that's relevant to that bracha. And Shema Kaleinu is the catch-all. You can add anything you want in there. So you can add, for example, a person, you actually find, it's actually printed in some Siddurim, but even in our Siddur, where it's not, you find, for example, let's say in Rufa'enu, they have in some Siddurim, they actually have a Nusach that you can add, the Shlach before Shlema to Pliny ben Plinus. And the same thing in Baruch Aleinu, you find in some Siddurim, where they have a little tefillah over there of your own that you can add to for Parnassah. But even if it's not printed there, or even if you want to make up your own Nusach, yeah, in any bracha, in any of the middle 13 brachas of Shemana Esrei, you can add your own bakasha that's appropriate to that bracha. Shema Kaleinu is a catch-all, so you can add any. No, not out loud. No, not out loud. We're talking about in your own shtivla Shemana Esrei.
Yeah. I believe if your personal bakashas are longer than the regular Amida, you say it in Yehuda Rotsin.
Maybe if it's longer than the regular Amida, then you should say it in Yehuda Rotsin. Could be. I don't think I've seen that, but it's very possible. So that was Ma'abred Rav Huna's tefillah, and that's what we say at the end of our Shemana Esrei. Another one, the Gemara says, Rava Basat Tzloisei Amahafi. Rava would say the following request after his tefillah: Elikai adshalom nitzarti enichadai. Even before I was created, I wasn't worthy to be created. I wasn't important enough. Choshev v'hogru not, he says, I wasn't important or worthy enough to be created. Ba'achshav shenitzarti, now that I have been created, ki'ilo lo nitzarti, it's as if I wasn't created because I'm not accomplishing what I'm supposed to. I'm still not important. Marashar explains, you have the famous thing in Erevin where this shaman, this whole argued, what's a noyach leila adam shenivra or noyach leila adam shaloi nivra? What's better? What would have been better for a person? To be created or not to be created? And the Gemara says over there that eventually nimra v'gamru, the Chum decided over there, they eventually voted, it would have been better shaloi nivra. But now that he was nivra, then he has to do tshuva or maisim tov. The vote is, in other words, because there are more mitzvahs loisah said than there are mitzvahs esah. So therefore, a person has more of an opportunity to mess up than they have to do good. So that's why, in that sense, noyach leila adam shaloi nivra. But now, once a person was created, then he has the responsibility to do the mitzvahs esther and bring a lakos into the world. So now, so this tefillah of Rava's is in keeping with that idea. Given that ad shaloi nitzarti, I didn't deserve to be created because I would have been better off noyach leila adam shaloi nivra. But achshav shenitzarti, now that I was created with the purpose of being accomplishing the mitzvahs esther, ki'ilo lo nitzarti, I'm not doing the mitzvahs esther like I was supposed to. So it's as if I wasn't created. Then he continues, Ofrani b'chaye, I'm dust even during my lifetime, so I don't have any chashivos even while I'm alive. Kavachoyme b'misasi, how much more so after I pass away, which Marashah says, also the meaning of that is, that was saying that when I'm alive, I have a choymer and a tsura, I have a materiality, my goof, and I have a tsura, which is the neshama. While I'm alive, I haven't been following the tzura, I haven't been following the neshama the way I'm supposed to, I've been following my guf. So, how much more so, kavachoyim and misasi, where the body and the neshama separate, I'm certainly not going to be able to do mitzvahs then. So, and he continues, Hare ani lechanecha, kichli moli busho uchlima, I'm before you, like a vessel full of embarrassment and humiliation. The body is a keli for the neshama, and the neshama is embarrassed about what the body has been doing. So he finishes off. Yiratzim lefanach Hashem lekai shaloi yachtoid. May it be your will, Hashem, that I should no longer do averus. U'mashach atosi lefanach, and whatever I did already sinned before you. Morek barachamecha rabim. Morek means like to polish away, to clean, to scrub away, really. In our siddur, and the Alter Rebbe hasn't said the nusach mechoyk barachamecha rabim, which means erase them. Avoloya in nusach Ashkenaz, they do say morek. But it shouldn't have to be through yisurim or through severe sicknesses. So that was his tefillah every day at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'hainu vidi Rav Hamnuna Zutta b'yom Kippurim b'yom Kippura. That was Rav Hamnuna Zutta would say that in his tefillah on Yom Kippur, and we also say it at the end of each of the tefillahs of Yom Kippur. To be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula. Ches Cheshvin. So we talked about yesterday at Kiddush Levana that it's Mekabel Pnei Shchina. So therefore, so when a person makes a Cheshvin, the Rebbe continued, when a person makes a Cheshvin Tzedek, a person makes an honest reckoning of what you're about regarding the Geula, then it means that a person has to be extra careful and extra Mahadir with Kiddush Levana. So first of all, that would mean make sure to do it in good, nice clothes, which is why we generally do it Matzah Shabbos, and to do it in the street and Beroy Vam Hadras Melech, even in places where they weren't particular about that until now. For example, because we live among the Goyim, that would also mean to be careful with the time of Kiddush Levana, not to go past the time. And most important, that I've added, to do it with the special kavana to bring quickly to be poil take of yad that David Malcolm Mashiach should come. Where after all we say at the end, right there we say at the end of Kiddush Levana, we say Rikshuas Hashem Alakim, there's David Malcolm Amen, that we will seek out Hashem and David, and that's the mentality to have when we're saying Kiddush Levana, that we are seeking out the Mashiach, that David Malcolm Mashiach should come. Miyad Mamash. There is, by the way, there's a medrash that says in that connection that when Yerovam set up and the Ten Shvatim seceded from the kingdom of Yehuda, at that time it says they rejected three things: the Bais Mikdash, Malchus Bais David, and Hashem. So now, for the Geula, Amitas Vashleimah to come, it has to be that we Jewish people want all those three things back. The Rituas Hashem Alekeim, there's David Malcolm, and you have a different passage that says that we also have to be Mavakish, the Bais Mikdash. So that's which is what the Rebbe was talking in all the years that we should be Mavakdash, yeah. Same amount of Mavakdash, yeah. We did, most of us did Kiddush Levana last night, but yeah. All right. The next siman here in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch talks about the halachas of stam yenam and then kashering it. For the most part, I mean, you know, look, you know, we go and buy bottled wine, and it's, you know, either it's mavushal or if it's not, then we know to keep it inside a bag and not to have it go touch it. So we won't go through most of the halachas in detail. One thing to be aware of is, and this you can ask anybody who works in any of the cashless agencies, for example, they have this whole issue that has come up in recent years as far as certain kind of whiskeys which are aged in sherry casks, where sherry is a type of wine, and you have big shilas about those, which kinds of whiskeys of those are kosher, and do you have a problem with any taste that they absorb from the barrels, and so on and so forth.
Mixers also,
sometimes they have blended whiskeys, you get into questions with those also. So yeah, there are big shilas. Big shyness with all those things. Frankly, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do is just not drink whiskey anyway, but that's a dasyachid, I'm sure.